The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, a program designed to promote a positive work environment. Your hosts are Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. In this hour, you will be motivated to motivate, increase morale, productivity, loyalty, and reduce turnover. Learn how some companies get it while others don't. Now, here are your hosts, Roy and Max.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, the show that's all about creating a better workplace and developing positive relationships where people can thrive. I'm Roy Saunderson, along with my colleague Max Brown today, and we're from the Recognition Management Institute. How's it going there for you, Max?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
You bet. Well, I'm looking forward to today's show because I've known Robin for many years now. He is the best-selling author and leadership advisor, Robin Sharmer, and he's ranked as one of the top five leadership experts and a celebrated author of 11 best-selling books on leadership, including his most recent book, The Leader Who Had No Title. His work has been published in over 60 countries and nearly 75 languages and has sold millions of copies. Robin is the founder of Sharma Leadership International Incorporated, a training firm whose Fortune 500 clients include Microsoft, GE, Nike, FedEx, and IBM. Robin holds two law degrees, including a Master's of Law, and has a distinguished career as a litigation lawyer. Robin is profiled regularly on CNN, MSNBC, BNN, and the Biography Channel. Robin is also the driving force behind the Robin Sharma Foundation for Children, a nonprofit organization that helps children in need become leaders. Welcome to the show today, Robin.
Great to be with you, Roy, and great to be with you as well, Max.
Thank you.
Well, Robin, it's been a few years since we first met in Toronto, and it's exciting to see all that you've been able to achieve. What was the impetus for you, Robin, for your focus on leadership and personal mastery?
Well, my journey started off from very humble beginnings. I started off as a litigation lawyer, and I was very unfulfilled, a lot like the main character in my book, The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was making a lot of money. I was successful according to the world's view or society's view of successful. I had a beautiful office. The only thing was I was very empty. I was very unfulfilled. I really didn't have a lot of passion or focus in my life. So I pulled back from the noise. I went through a period of years where I really rethought my thinking. I had a good hard look at my values and really how I was conducting my life. And I made a profound transformation with what I learned about myself, and I started reading books on leadership, great autobiographies. I started interviewing elders, and I made this transformation. And I thought if an ordinary person such as myself could make this big change, maybe I should share what I've learned in a book. So I self-published The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari in a Kinko's coffee shop.
Okay.
My mom was my editor. My father helped me sell it out of our car. And I started off with these 500 books, or roughly 500 books. And people started reading that book and telling other people, and it became a word-of-mouth phenomenon. And what started happening was organizations started bringing me in to speak to their salespeople or to coach them or to talk to them about motivation. And that eventually led to teaching them about leadership. And the new book, The Leader Who Had No Title, is really all about what I currently do, which is going into organizations and helping employees at every level understand that the old model of leadership is dead. You don't have to be a CEO to make a difference. You can lead without a title.
And that's been a fascinating book as I read through it. It certainly got me thinking as well, so I can understand that whole transformation and rethinking that you've gone through. Robin, you've obviously become a master at the art of fable writing as well through this medium. How did you become so passionate and enamored with this format?
Well, you're very kind, Roy. I don't know if I'm a master at it, but I do think that adults are nothing more than deteriorated children. In other words, I thought if I could tell a story, I mean, The Leader Who Had No Title distills what I've learned about leadership and business success and personal success from over 15 years at doing this. When we first met, that was roughly 13 years ago.
Yes.
So I've been at this, like you, for a long time. And the new book basically distills everything I've learned, but I thought if I could take what I've learned about organizational and personal winning and wrap it in this story around these four master leadership teachers, well, then the ideas would be memorable, but they would also be sticky for people. And I think ultimately that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give great ideas to help people win in business, win in their personal lives, but to deliver it in a way that makes it entertaining for people and then makes it memorable. So that's why The Leader Who Had No Title is written as a story. I wanted to make the learning fun as well as relevant.
Right, right. So what does real leadership mean to you, Robin?
Well, it's definitely not about a title. I think we're in leadership 2.0. And what I mean by that is if you look at Wall Street, for example, I mean, Lehman Brothers is dead. Many of the time-honored organizations that we thought would never fail are crumbling. And so business leaders that we revered or sports stars that we thought were amazing have lost faith. And what I'm suggesting is the old model of leadership, which is that charismatic single person at the top of an organization running the show, that model has been dramatically disrupted and it's dead. The new model of leadership, Leadership 2.0, is this. No matter what you do within an organization, whether you work in the mailroom or in the boardroom, when you walk into your workplace every day, you not only have the opportunity to show leadership, you have the responsibility to show leadership. In other words, whether you flip burgers, whether you answer the phone, whether you sweep up at the end of the day, whether you work in human resources or legal, or whether you work in the C-suite, if you want your organization to win, and actually if you want to save your job, it comes down to one word, leadership. That means innovating. It means we can talk about what leadership means, but it means innovating. It means taking responsibility for results. It means, as Gandhi said, you driving the change you want to see in your world. And to me, that's what real leadership is about. It's not about the title on your business card. It's about a way of thinking, a way of performing, and a way of being where you say, you know what, I might not be CEO, but I can still show some dramatic leadership by the way I occur in my workplace today.
Right, right. Now, in the book, The Leader Who Had No Title, one of the characters there says that we've entered the decade of leadership. Can you explain what you mean by the decade of leadership and why now?
Well, I wrote a blog the other day about, and I called it The Death of Management. And what I meant by that is, I might have been pushing the envelope a little bit when I wrote that, but what I believe is we've talked a lot about managing. People go to work and they manage priorities, they manage people, they manage their objectives, etc. Why I'm suggesting that we're entering the decade, the next 10 years of leadership, is I think if an organization's ultimate competitive advantage comes down to this, growing and developing leaders at all levels faster than your competition. So that's why I call this the decade of leadership. It's all about a refusal to play victim anymore. I mean, any employee, any person who's working today, if you really want to win, if you want to make more money in your organization, you want to have a, you know, move up through the organization, you want to have a long-term future with the business that you're working at right now, and even in your personal life, it comes down to starting to think like a leader, starting to ask yourself, if I was the CEO of my own small business unit called my job, how would I show up every day at work? How would I innovate? How would I develop other leaders around me? How would I wow customers? So I do think this is the decade of leadership where every single one of us, regardless of our title, we get to go to work and we get to show leadership. And I often joke when I say this, but what I encourage people to do is be the Mick Jagger of the mailroom if you work in the mailroom. You know, be the Lady Gaga of taxi driving. Be the Picasso of stapler selling. But whatever you do, I mean, one of the greatest secrets of happiness is being brilliant at the work that you do. And a mm-hmm. lot of us, we don't actually show leadership in our work. We play victims, and we look at all the things that we can't do rather than step into the responsibility of doing all that we can do in our work.
Right, right. So how do we get rid of that victimhood that we maybe have placed upon ourselves and unleashed this inner leader, if you will, within us?
Well, the first step is just understanding that you don't have to, that you can lead without a title. A lot of people have been so indoctrinated and actually brainwashed into not thinking they have any power, Roy. You know, we give away our power. We say, well, I'm not the CEO, or I'm not the manager at this workplace, or I'm just an ordinary person in my community. I can't make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk like that, and when you play victim, and when you say, I can't make a difference, or I can't show leadership because I don't have a title, I'm not the mayor, I'm not the CEO, I had a tough background, well, then you're actually playing victim and you're not owning your power. And what I suggest in The Leader Who Had No Title, there are actually two forms of power. There's the title, there's the power that you get having a title.
Right.
But there's a much more powerful form of power, which is the title you have by reaching deep within your thinking and by reaching deep within your way of being and saying, you know what, I'm a human being, and when I walk out in the world, no matter what my station is in life, I can influence people by my example.
Mm-hmm.
I can play at excellence in a world that celebrates mediocrity. I can leave people better than I found them, and I can make a difference. And so when you start to own that power, and then each day at work, and not only at work, in your personal life, start to use the power, guess what happens? The power begins to grow. And the more you start to take ownership over your career, the more you start to see your work as a craft, just like a fine watchmaker or someone who, you know, is a craftsperson, and you take pride in your work, and it's not about the money, it's about being great in your work. And the more you start to take responsibility of elevating people around you and being the most positive person in every room, what starts to happen is your power starts to expand. And the more you do that, you let go of the chains of victimhood and you start being a leader in your work. And then that actually cascades in your personal life. You start to own the power to influence your health. You start to own the power to build a better family life. You start to own the power to make a difference in your community. And you start to refuse to accept any forms of mediocrity in your life, and you step into excellence. And that's how you start to show leadership without a title.
Wow. This has been a phenomenal beginning to our show, Robin, and it's almost time for us to take a short break so that we can continue on. Again, for our listeners, this is Roy Saunderson and Max Brown with our guest today, Robin Sharma, the author of The Leader Who Had No Title. And you're listening to Real Recognition Radio on the Voice America Business Channel. Please stay tuned for more with Robin Sharma.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Issa provides homeowners and investors eager to invest well in real estate the knowledge, resources, and tools necessary to generate significant wealth. Our focus will be the paradigm. Live where you want. Invest where it makes the most sense. Listen live to the brightest minds in real estate investment every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. That's Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean ISA, where America learns to invest.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and myself, Max Brown, and our guest today, best-selling author and leadership advisor, Robin Sharma. Robin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, just before the segment break there, we actually were talking a little bit about, you know, how people can take more for themselves, quit being a victim, if you will, and you said that we don't have to be a leader with, you know, you don't have to be a leader with a title in order to be a leader. We can still elevate those around us. Can you say more about that? What about for people who feel like, you know, they work for a toxic workplace or a place where the leader is really, really tough?
Well, Max, I get that question a lot after I finish a presentation or even on radio shows. I share the idea that you can lead without a title, and I share the idea that whether you work in the mailroom or in the boardroom, you can innovate, you can play at excellence in a world that celebrates mediocrity, and you can make a difference. And you're right. People say, well, that might sound like a great idea in theory, but I'm in the real world, Robin, and I work in a challenging workplace. And often I hear, well, my boss just doesn't believe this stuff. Well, what I would say, first of all, is just because your boss doesn't believe that you can lead without a title doesn't mean that you shouldn't lead without a title. I mean, ultimately, what's leadership about? Is leadership about listening to the critics, or is leadership about running your own race and doing what's right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the greatest opportunity that you have is not going into a workplace where everyone understands what I'm talking about, you know, mm-hmm. where everyone says, you know what, regardless of your title in this organization, show leadership within your work. Let's build an excellent workplace. Let's go out and wow customers. Let's show ethical leadership. I actually think the greatest opportunity is working in a place where there is toxicity. Why? Mm-hmm. Because that's where you can do your best work. That's where you can have the greatest impact. That's where you can be an agent of transformation. And is it easy? I mean, is it easy to go into a toxic workplace and lead without a title? Or to work like Picasso painted? Or to go the extra mile where most people just want to coast through the day? No, it's not easy. But here's what I would ask any people doubting Max. I would say, when you get to the last hour of your career, or the last day of your life, and you survey how you have worked, will you have wished you had been one of those people who, even though you faced resistance and criticism and it was tough, you still stood for what was best, you still showed leadership, you were still a model of possibility, you still innovated, you still were the most passionate person in every room? Or will you have wished that you were just like everyone else, you coasted through the day, you played at average, and you were just part of the herd? Well, we know what the answer would be.
And essentially saying that taking this risk is worth it.
Well, you know, I mean, I think the greatest risk is not taking risks. I mean, that's the seduction we all as human beings fall into. We go to work every day, and we think that if we coast and stay in the comfort zone, it's safe. Well, actually, right now in this current economy, that's the most dangerous place you can be. I mean, a lot of the leader who had no title is, how do you go to work and work like Mozart composed music? How do you go to work in a world where most people are card-carrying members of the club of mediocrity, and you separate yourself so that you're a member of the cult of mastery? And again, these are not platitudes. If you look into the science, a lot of the book is based on the emerging science of exceptional performance. And the scientists and neuroscientists and researchers have now studied people that we once called geniuses. For example, Beckham, David Beckham, Roger Federer, the great chess champions, Mozart, people like Tiger Woods, world-class athletes. And what they found is the people that we once pedestaled and said, well, they're geniuses, they're more intelligent, they have natural ability, the science has actually shown that that's not true. They were simply people who did a few things that average people don't do. One thing they did, they focused on their specific skill for the equivalent of 10 years. The second thing, each and every day, while the rest of the world was distracted by things that really were of no value, they practiced. So by practicing every day and by focusing on that one skill for 10 years, any one of your listeners can actually work like Picasso, play at world class in their specific work, but most people just don't believe it.
Mm-hmm. And Malcolm Gladwell talks about this, doesn't he, in some of his work?
Well, he's popularized he calls it the 10,000-hour rule.
Yeah.
And a lot of that he wrote about, now other people are writing about it now, but it goes back to the work of Anders Ericsson, who is the preeminent researcher in the emerging field of exceptional performance. And the first article I ever read about it was actually in the Harvard Business Review. It's called What Makes an Expert? But I think the point for your listeners, and I say this with deep respect, is this. It's no longer valid to go to work and say, I can't show leadership anymore. It's no longer valid to say, well, I have to live an ordinary life because I'm not like Buffett, I'm not like Richard Branson, I'm not like Tiger Woods, I'm not like the people that we think are world class. Every single one of us who devotes ourselves to 10 years of focused on our specific craft, every single one of us who practices every day, every single one of us who surrounds ourselves with a dream team of coaches can actually work like the best of the best and show leadership. To me, that's an incredible piece of information for every single one of us to remember.
Absolutely. There's a case for hope, case that we actually have more power than we realized.
Well, that's really what The Leader Who Had No Title is all about. It's about if you're a single mother working in Nebraska, if you are a taxi driver working in New York City, if you're a teacher working in Vancouver, there's not one of those three scenarios that I've mentioned where you can't be great in your own way, where you can't lead without a title. And be so good at what you do that people literally say, wow, she is the Lady Gaga of education, or he is the Roger Federer of taxi drivers. And I see this on a daily basis. I mean, we did a renovation of our office a little while ago, and I had this gentleman named Bert come to the office to do the carpet installing. And I wish you had seen how Bert installed the carpets. He wasn't the owner of the business. He wasn't a rich person. He wasn't a CEO. He was a quote-unquote ordinary carpet installer. But he did his work at excellence. He was so passionate. He went the extra mile. He was so proud of his work. And that's really what leading without a title is all about. And he even innovated the way he installed the carpet. And I'm simply saying he didn't have a title. And yet, each day when I go into my office now, I see his work and I remember Bert. And his example of excellence still stays with me all these months after he first showed up at the office. That's what leadership is about, not about how much money you have in a bank account or where you are on the organizational hierarchy.
Mm-hmm. What other great leaders do you share? I mean, that's a wonderful example of someone who's so proud and innovative in what they do. Do you have another couple stories you could share with us of people that have actually done this?
Well, I see it on a regular basis. I was in a taxi cab the other day, and I got into the taxi cab, and you know the gentleman was dressed very neatly, and I said, wow. And I just noticed there was what I call OAD, obsessive attention to detail, like you see in the best hotels or the best stores or the best restaurants. Well, his cab showed that commitment to excellence. And he had this beautiful shirt on, and he was polite. And, you know, in a world where a lot of cab drivers are grumpy because they face a lot of stress, he had a smile on his face, and he welcomed me in the cab, and he engaged me. And when I left the cab, he said something I've never forgotten. He said, well, it's been great talking to you. Have a great life. And that's another example of a leader without a title. No, this was not a rich person. He was not a Bono. He was not a prime minister or president. He was an ordinary person who has shifted from victimhood to leadership. And he has understood that he has the opportunity every day to literally touch the lives of every single human being who enters and exits his cab. And one of the things I say in the book is leave everyone you meet better than you found them. And this taxi driver is a great example of that. And that's why if I sound a little passionate about The Leader Who Had No Title, it's because I think it's a book, it's a manifesto for anyone who might be stuck or who might be playing an average or who might be saying, well, I just have to be mediocre. I just have to spend the best hours of my life watching television in a subdivision. I have to have ordinary health and ordinary relationships. And, well, you know, I'm the receptionist in an organization, or I just work in HR. Or,
mm-hmm.
Well, that's just not true. And if someone wants to live like that and work like that, it's their choice. But every single one of us has the opportunity to go to work and do something very special, regardless of our title. And if every single one of us started thinking and working like that, what would happen to organizations? What would happen to communities?
Yeah, well, if we just started thinking of others that way, elevating others as opposed to just worrying about where we are.
Well, you know, isn't that the ironic thing about leadership, which is the more you think about your ego, the more you go to work and think about your title, whether people like you, whether you're going to get a promotion, the more your focus is off of doing brilliant work. The more your focus is off of developing the leadership capability of the people around you. The more your focus is off of delivering what I call outrageous value to as many of your customers as possible. And those are the very things that will get you the promotion, more money, more recognition from the people around you.
Yes. As opposed to just worrying about where you currently stand, trying to do these other things and put your focus outwards instead of inwards.
Well, there's a line in the book which is shift from ego gratification to value creation. Shift from ego gratification to value creation. If you look at the best business people, let's talk about a specific example. Warren Buffett, one of the richest people in the world. Well, this is a man who has lived in the same house for 45 years. He's had the same office since 1948. He doesn't worry about his title. He doesn't worry about his ego. His singular obsession is to deliver outrageous value for the stakeholders and the shareholders of Berkshire Hathaway. And what has that done? It's made him a great leader.
Oh, I love that story. We have to take a quick break, Robin, but when we come back, I would love to get your opinion as well on, so what do people do as a first step to get out of that ego? You know, how do we get there if we could? Please come right back, as obviously listeners can appreciate and enjoy this great conversation we're having with Robin Sharma. Thank you for being on our show. We'll be right back. Please join us in just a couple minutes on Real Recognition Radio as we continue this conversation on leadership and how to really lead. For Real Recognition Radio, this is Max Brown and Roy Saunderson.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time here on News Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio with myself, Roy Saunderson, and Max Brown, with our guest, best-selling author and leadership advisor, Robin Sharma. Robin, just before the break, you started using the example of value creation and getting away from ego gratification. What would be the one or two steps that you would recommend to move in that direction towards value creation?
Well, I think it starts with your focus. If you go into work, and again, you can lead without a title. So let's say you go into, you're a salesperson in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than worrying about how much money you're going to make, rather than worrying about whether you're going to be the sales manager at the end of the quarter, rather than worrying about whether the people around you are going to think you're cool or innovative or excellent, develop a singular focus about this. How can I deliver as much value to as many people as possible today? And with that focus, what's going to happen? You're going to do your best work. And to me, that's what leadership, a lot of what leadership is about. I mean, I want to set up, if I may, what the leader who had no title is all about. It's about this bookseller. He's in his late 20s. His name is Blake Davis. And he's stuck. His life just isn't working. Why? Because he's focusing on the wrong things. And one day he receives a tap on his shoulder. He looks up. He sees this strange-looking character, this old-looking gentleman. His name is Tommy Flynn. He's in his 80s. He has a Mickey Mouse watch and a SpongeBob SquarePants hanky, I believe. And he says to this, the hero of the story, he says, you know what, give me one day, and I'm going to introduce you to these four exceptional teachers who will share with you a formula to be phenomenal in your work and live a phenomenal life. So the hero says, okay, and they have this day together where he meets these four teachers. The first teacher is a hotel housekeeper, and she shares the fact that whatever you do, you can have an impact, you can play at excellence, you can innovate, and you can be great. The second teacher talks about the fact that turbulent times aren't actually negative. Tough times are actually opportunities to become a better leader. The third leader talks about the importance of relationships in business, and then the final leader talks about the fact that to be a great leader in your work, become a great person, and he explains how to become fearless. So here's what I'm suggesting. The starting point to being a value creator begins with starting to see yourself as a leader rather than being a victim.
Mm-hmm. So, and I know, and I love those characters, Anna, the housekeeper in the book, and she shared with Blake, the character you just described, and I quote from the book, that every one of us alive to the truth about leadership can treat all stakeholders with respect, appreciation, and kindness. And I know there will be managers on the show listening in who are burdened with the challenge of reaching certain targets. They've got less staff than they had, competition's knocking at the door. How do you advise people to make time to develop this kind of leadership skills that you recommend?
Well, you know, I think what you're getting at, Roy, is the fact that there are managers out there who say things like, well, developing the leadership talent of the people around me is a great idea, but I have lots to do right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might say, well, recognizing and celebrating people sounds like a great idea. Maybe at the end of the next quarter, when I have a bit more time, I'll start doing that. Or they might start saying, well, you know, Robin or Max or Roy, respecting people and developing relationships sounds like a wonderful idea that I might hear in a motivational speech, but I'm in the real world and I need to focus on my numbers. Well,
right.
Anyone who might be thinking about like that, I would say with respect, you might not have a job 12 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I would say the evidence, the research is actually showing that the best businesses are the businesses that develop the leadership talent of employees at every level. And let me share a specific research study. It's by Daniel Goleman, who became famous for writing a book, Emotional Intelligence.
Emotional Intelligence, right.
Yeah. Well, in the Harvard Business Review, he wrote a brilliant article called What Makes a Leader? And he studied 188 of the best companies in the world. And here's what he found. He found that the best managers and the best leaders at the world's best companies were not the people who had the best technical skills. They were not the people who had the best cognitive abilities. In other words, they were not the smartest people. 90% of the reason that the best leaders were the best in their workplaces was because of emotional intelligence. In other words, they developed other leaders around them, and they built relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what I'm suggesting, hopefully with great respect, is that anyone who now starts to challenge the idea that it's our job responsibility to grow leaders around us, anyone who challenges the idea that relationships or recognizing people is a waste of time, they're thinking in a way that is not aligned with what the research and what the evidence of great companies and great workplaces is now saying.
Right, right. Now, Jackson, another character and teacher in your book, suggests that to leaving every single person who intersects your path better, happier, and more encouraged than you found them. I wonder, Robin, if you could share some examples from your own life of how you managed to do this in the busyness of life and the work that you do.
Well, one of the things that I talk about at the end of The Leader Who Had No Title is the importance of working on personal leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why I'm saying this. What I try to do as much as possible is I get up at 5 o'clock. And your listeners might say, 5 o'clock? Why would I get up at 5 o'clock? Well, it'll take about 40 days to install this new habit. And then once you do that, you'll have an hour for yourself every morning to practice, just like an elite athlete practices before the big event. And what I do in my morning practice session or my morning personal leadership hour is I start to look at my values. And one of my values is really what you just mentioned from the book, which is leaving every person I meet better than I found them. And by reconnecting with that fundamental value every morning, and by reading the works of the great men and women who have graced the planet before us, and by reading business books and by listening to audiobooks in that 1 hour at the beginning of my day, I ground myself in who I want to be as a human being as well as a leader every single morning. And that's just a tactic that I use so that when I walk out into the seduction of distraction of this incredibly busy world of ours, I don't get swept up in the busyness of it all.
Mm-hmm.
I stay focused on the few things that are most important. And one of them to me is remembering that every taxi driver I meet, every clerk in a grocery store, every one of my teammates, every customer that I meet, every stranger on the street is a story on two legs. I mean, the kids and I were driving the other day, and we saw someone who was begging for money. And I said to my kids, I've got two incredible kids who are my heroes. And I said, you know, to my kids, I said, that man was once someone's child. You know, that man has a story. That man was born into pure potential, and something happened along the way that now causes him to have nothing and to be asking for money from people on the street. And all I'm saying is technology is beautiful. A lot of our clients are Microsoft and Research in Motion and great technology companies. But in this world of incredible technology, I think we've lost the essence of humanity. And I think we've lost the essence of leadership. And ultimately, business is about people. It's a people sport. It's about recognizing people, as you teach, Roy. I mean, it's about celebrating people. It's about seeing their inner leader. It's about giving them, and I know this sounds like a cliche, but it's about giving them this impossible vision for your business, this impossible dream, and then developing them and championing them and galvanizing their leadership ability so this seemingly ordinary team does something extraordinary. And anyone who might be saying, well, you know, that sounds like a motivational speech, look at the best sports teams. They were ordinary people who, through proper coaching, who, believing in themselves and given the right environment, they did something great, like winning a championship when everyone said they would never win anything.
Right. In our next 2 minutes here, Robin, obviously leadership is about building people up, as you've said, and not tearing them down. Why do you think we've fallen into this pattern of the negative perceptions and pushing people down?
Well, you know, I'll get a little philosophical. There's a line in The Leader Who Had No Title that says, potential unexpressed turns to pain.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I mean. There's not one person listening in today who can't play at world class in their work. And I've offered some empirical evidence and research to confirm that. There's not one person listening in who can't influence other people, who do great work, and live a meaningful life. But if we don't accept the call on our lives and assume responsibility to show leadership and spend instead our time wasting time and gossiping and watching too much TV, what starts to happen is that potential does turn to pain. And a lot of us don't even know that at a deep level we're in pain because we've betrayed ourselves. We've betrayed our potential. And so what starts to happen is rather than recognize that pain, we take the anger out on other people. And we gossip and we criticize and we complain and we get into road rage and all of those kinds of things, because at a deep level, it's really not about the person on the highway. It's about our own lost potential and the fact that we haven't expressed it. I don't know if that makes sense, but a lot of the readers have found that relevant.
Wow. And again, it's looking within in order to really see the potential in others. And I know I have an expression that in order to appreciate self, to appreciate, you have to appreciate yourself first to be able to recognize another. And I think that's what you're communicating here. Robin, this has been a very exciting show even so far, and it looks like we're due for another short intermission. So let's come back for our final segment with our guest today, Robin Sharma. For Real Recognition Radio, this is Roy Sonneson and Max Brown reminding you to keep it real.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now. Toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Zoom Leadership.
It's the big picture issues of the day, up close and personal capabilities of leadership, and a desirable future of constant renewal.
Zoom Leadership.
It's the economic crisis made clear, patterns and perspectives of leadership, and the importance of changing the way we pursue our future. Join host John Schmidt every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time.
Zoom Leadership.
An inside look at what's really going on in business, government, and civil society. Tune in every week on the Voice America Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Sonderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about: getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio. Let's continue our conversation with Robin Sharma, our guest today, and learn some final pointers on leadership and how to really lead. Robin, obviously, the conversation's been fast and furious, but really, really a great conversation that Roy and I have both deeply enjoyed. Why do you think, with all the research and all the work that's out there, including the work that you're doing, there's still this reluctance or this barrier, if you will, to getting this type of excellence, that there still seems to be a lot of victims out there, that we still walk into corporations that still feel very, very toxic or dangerous to be, and we've even met some of these people that are quite angry, actually. What's going on?
Can I answer your question in one word, Max?
Please.
Fear.
Say it again.
Fear. I think fear. It's human nature when we... Yeah. See what we can be when, you know, even the whole idea that you can lead without a title scares people. I mean, it's a threatening concept.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people have read The Leader Who Had No Title, and they embrace it because it shows them that they can go to work, and regardless of what they do, they can lead. It shows them that no matter what their history has been, they can have a world-class future. But some people are actually threatened by the idea that you can lead without a title. Why? Mm-hmm. Because most of us wake up every morning, and we live within what I call, in the book, the safe harbor of the known. We know most of the answers to our biggest questions. We have the same thoughts. We have the same conversations. We have the same brown bag lunch. We watch the same TV shows, and we surround ourselves with the same people. Here's the thing. When we leave that safe harbor of the known to innovate, to reach our next level of excellence, to explore more of our talent, to show some real leadership, it scares us because we let go of control. We go out into the unknown, and it brings up an emotion called fear. Well, here's the most important thing I can share in this conversation. We have a choice. You can retreat back to your comfort zone and get to the last hour of your last day and say, you know what? I never really woke up to leadership and awakening my inner leader, and I guess I just wasted my life. Or you can embrace the fear and then overcome the fear. And that's how you actually grow as a leader and as a human being. The more you can disrupt your old ways of thinking, the more you can embrace your fear rather than run away from your fear, the more you can play out on the edges of your work life and your personal life, the bigger a person and more powerful a leader you will become.
Robin, how do you do that personally? Like, what do you do that stretches you? Most people would probably look at your life now and say, boy, this guy has no fear.
Well, one of the things I've realized, the second teacher in the book is Ty Boyd, a former ski pro. And his lesson that he's teaching is turbulent times build better leaders. And one of the things he said, to be responsive to what you just said, Max, he said, When I get to the top of one mountain, I see other mountains to scale. And so anyone who might listen to me and say, well, this guy has no fears, what I realize is once I work through a certain piece of fear, guess what I get to see? Other fears to conquer. And to me, that's just the journey of life and the journey of leadership. But for anyone who's listening, I'm going to give one of the acronyms for the book. So these are five tactics to lead without a title. The acronym is IMAGE. I stands for innovation. So to become more fearless every single day, make everything you touch a little bit better than you found it. Innovation. Everything a little bit better every single day. M, be a merchant of wow. In other words, be the best in the world at what you do, whether you sweep up at the end of the day or work in a restaurant. Make a commitment to be so good at what you do that people can't ignore you, to use Steve Martin's words. The A in the acronym, IMAGE, be authentic. Oscar Wilde said it so well. He said, be yourself, everyone else is taken. The G in the acronym is GUTS. So again, just don't give up. In Japan, they say when you get knocked down seven times, get up eight times. Most people could create such extraordinary careers, extraordinary results, and extraordinary lives. But they get knocked down a few times as they leave their safe harbor of the known and begin to stretch a little bit, and they never try it again. And then the final thing, E, in the acronym IMAGE, E is about ethics. My dad said it so well. He said, Robin, it could take you 20 years to build a great reputation, and you could lose it in 20 seconds of bad judgment. And we're seeing it right now with a lot of these celebrities who have fallen from grace. I don't think anything is more important than your good name.
Yes. Well, we see it in lots of the companies that you talked about earlier and other companies that are in the press right now, too.
Well, absolutely, and I think that's a result of CEOs and so-called leaders who have forgotten why they're in business. We're not in business to line our own pockets. And of course, there's nothing wrong with making a healthy profit. That's a really smart thing for any business to do. But I think the singular most important reason to be in business is to do brilliant work that you're proud of and to help as many people as possible.
What would you say, though, to those who are actually saying, hey, I got quarterly reports, and I know we talked about this a little bit, and we've talked around it, but those people are saying, you know, that's a dream world for you, Robin. We know this makes money, but boy, we're gonna make our quarterly numbers, and if they don't, by golly, they're out.
Well, how do you make quarterly numbers or even exceed your quarterly numbers if you don't wow your customers? I mean, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm saying, focus on your numbers, of course. I mean, be operationally world-class. But how do you make your numbers? You don't make them by spending every day focusing on your numbers. You make your numbers by going out into the workplace and building a great team where every single person, regardless of their title, shows leadership. How do you make your numbers? You do work that is so good that every single customer has to put sunglasses on because you're shining so brightly. How do you make your numbers? Well, you innovate. Exactly what I was saying. You leave every single product or service that you touch better than you found it. How do you make your numbers? Rather than playing victim, you show leadership. So you take responsibility for results, even if you sweep up at the end of the day. So I don't see how anything I've said in the time we've shared so far is against making your numbers. It's just the opposite.
Yes.
By showing leadership without a title, that's how you exceed your numbers.
Yes.
You know, Robin, I'm curious. You've also said in your book about wanting to leave the world a better place and making a difference. What is your foundation for children doing? I know you're saying you're helping even children become leaders.
Well, Roy, thank you for asking. I do believe giving back is exceptionally important. And so I've started the Robin Sharma Foundation for Children, and it has a very simple purpose, to help children lead without a title. And I do believe, and I'm sure you both would agree, subscribe to this as well, but I think, you know, when we go through school, we learn math and English and geography and history, but no one has ever taught us how to lead without a title. No one has ever taught us how to take personal responsibility to create world-class results. No one has ever taught us how to build great relationships or overcome disruption or innovation. So what I'm trying to do is to get this message of leadership to as many young people as possible so that they can do their best work and so they can awaken their inner leaders and so that ultimately they can lead without a title.
That's wonderful and very, very needed in today's society.
Well, it sure is. You know, we all meet people who are suffering, and it reminds me of that story you shared about the person who was begging on the side of the street as well. We all have an opportunity to do something bigger than just what we're worried about every day about ourselves.
Well, that's why I'm so passionate about the leader who had no title and the whole lead without a title message, because it's so much more than a book for me or so much more than a business. I honestly think of what Mother Teresa said. She said, if everyone would only sweep their own doorstep, the whole world would be clean.
Yeah.
And Gandhi, and I used this quote at the beginning of the book, Gandhi said, in a gentle way we can shake the world.
Yeah.
And I really believe that if every single one of us accepted not only the opportunity but the responsibility to show leadership in our work and in our lives, it would change the lives of so many people, but I think it would also change society. Because there's just too many people who are walking around saying, I have to be average, or I can't make a difference, or my life or my work doesn't matter. And yet, I think we've all met hotel housekeepers or people in grocery stores or taxi drivers who just, for some reason, they're proud of their work. And they're proud of who they are. And they know that they might not be a prime minister or a president or a billionaire, but they know that they can be a force of one. And I think if everyone started thinking like that, what would happen to this world of ours? What would happen to our family lives? What would happen to our communities? And I just see the world is in a messy place right now. I mean, the people who we're idolizing and the TV shows that we're watching and the way we're treating people, I think we've lost our way in some regards.
And with that in mind then, where and, you know, as a parting thought perhaps even, where is this all going? What is your feeling or your gut response to how the companies and employees and work is trending now?
Well, I think if I was to go up to 50,000 feet max, I would say the reason why we are experiencing the turbulence in business right now and the dramatic disruption is because old buildings must be torn down before a nice new building can be constructed. And here's what I mean. All the businesses that were not built on a basis of leadership, that were not built on a basis of personal responsibility, that were not built on a basis of treating people well, strong workplace cultures, delivering excellent products for their stakeholders, those businesses are falling apart. And the good news is space is now being made for those businesses that are developing leaders at every title. Space is being made for businesses that are ethical, that are passionate, that are doing excellent work. And to me, that's a very optimistic thing.
I love it. I love it. I love where you're headed with all this. I love where you think about the future and the opportunities. It's just been fabulous to have you on the show today. And on behalf of Roy and I both, we thank you for taking the time to share with us just a few of the concepts of what a wonderful book that we both highly recommend as well.
Well, thank you so much. And if I may, anyone who's interested, I have a website. It's theleaderwhohadnotitle.com, theleaderwhohadnotitle.com. And I have a 25-minute video for free that anyone can watch that will really give any of your listeners the next level of information and tactics on how they can lead without a title.
Thank you. Thank you for being here, and thank you for taking the time on Real Recognition Radio. For Roy and I,
connecting with you again, Robin.
Thanks so much, Roy. Thanks, Max.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you, Roy, for that connection and for having Robin on our show today as well. We both thank you for being on the show and for listening. For all those that are out there enjoying these programs, we encourage your feedback, and we would offer, you know, the feedback at realrecognition.com with any of your comments or suggestions for the show. We look forward to hearing from you, of course. And for Real Recognition Radio, this is Max Brown and Roy Saunderson reminding you to keep it real.
Thank you again for tuning in Real Recognition Radio. Please join Roy Saunderson and Max Brown again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel for more motivational tips to help your employees perform better. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.